This is Doug Miller. You know, as believers, we are to receive one another even as Christ received us. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time by the grace of God and by His goodness and mercy to speak into this microphone and send the Word of God out. We're in the 9th chapter of Acts, and we will take it up today at the 23rd verse of chapter 9. We are dealing with a new kid on the block, namely Saul of Tarsus, who not many days hence will be called Paul. And we know him, and we know him real well, don't we? And if you say, well, I don't know him so well, well, you need to get to know him. He is the man with information that every believer needs to have, and every unbeliever too. So come along, bring your Bibles. Chapter 9 of Acts, verse 23. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the sake of seeing this word go out. That's what we do. And by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do it as long as He gives us grace and the opportunity. And when He shuts it down, if He shuts it down, then that's up to Him. He is the one who's in charge, and we are not going to worry about that. Have absolutely nothing to worry about here. Just being faithful to seeing this word go out. And, of course, we are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners for support. This is a faith ministry. Without you, we cannot go on. It's just that simple. Just that simple. We would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from the listeners, to know that you're out there. To answer any questions that you might have, to help you in any way that we might, and just to see you going on and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also would invite you to go on our webpage, dialogueministries.org, all one word, all small letters, and you can pull down some of our broadcasts and listen to them and read about Dialogue and so on. Or, if you don't like to write, email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Now, also, I do this from time to time in case you absolutely want to talk to a real live human sooner or later. You can call us. We've got a telephone. And our phone number, area code 405-568-5048. That's area code 405-568-5048. Be happy to talk to you. Now, you're going to get a recording, and but I'll get back with you. Give me a call. Okay. In chapter 9, verse 23, where we left last time, we had Paul in Damascus, down in the synagogue, not doing what he came to do. He came to bring people bound in chains to take them back to Jerusalem to be tried. Why? Because they were confessing Jesus as Messiah, Christ, and Lord, and saying that salvation was through by grace through faith, believing in the gospel. I think that's what they were doing. Doesn't say that here in so many words. And also, I'm not sure the gospel was really as clear to a lot of these early believers as it became once Paul went out there and hit the road and started his preaching and teaching. But I tell you this, this Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was a man knowledgeable in the scriptures. And what we have here, notice and remember this, there was no New Testament at that time. What there was, and the scriptures that were out there, were this is what we would call the Old Testament, and they were in Hebrew in the synagogues, and for many of the Greek-speaking Jews, they had the so-called Septuagint. This is the Old Testament translated into Greek. Now, I want you to ask yourself, and some of you out there who are preachers in churches, you might need to ask yourself this. If all you had was the Old Testament and someone handed it to you and said, look at the end of verse 22, chapter 9, proving that this is the very Christ. Okay. He is preaching back in verse 19 that Jesus is the Son of God. If all you had was the Old Testament, could you make the case? Paul did. All of these disciples back there were able to do it. If you are Jewish and you are listening to me, and you have been taught that, you know, that Old Testament doesn't teach anything about Jesus, and this is all deception and this is confusion, you had better take another look at your own scriptures. You had better look carefully at Isaiah 53, for example, at Psalm 22, at Psalm 16. You had better look back at the 22nd chapter of Genesis and at the types that are throughout Moses. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, we are told of Jesus' teaching beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, at the end of that chapter, Jesus tells a group of Jews, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" You see, the problem was, first off, many of them didn't know the writings of Moses, really. And even those that knew them probably didn't really believe them. "If you don't believe this, how would you believe me?" said Jesus. Now, Paul had the Old Testament, and it says here, he got stronger and stronger. He grew in strength, and he confounded these individuals, these Jews in Damascus at the synagogue. He proved that Jesus was the Christ. And they didn't want to hear that. So what do we got? Verse 23, "After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." Now, for those of you who are Jewish, I feel the need to say something to you. And you've heard me say this before. I occasionally, you know, have to answer a charge of anti-Semitism. Well, you just are against Jews. Oh, please. My friends, anyone who knows me and who has listened to me very long and who knows anything about me knows that I am not against the Jews. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. If the Jews have a friend in this country, you know, and they've got many. They've got many. Well, I'm one of them. But I tell you what, I love you enough to tell you the truth. This was not Gentiles that were trying to kill Saul. These were Jews. Why were they trying to kill him? Because they didn't like what he was saying. This message that Jesus is the Christ, that you have rejected the Christ, the very King you claim to have been waiting for, and you crucified him, and now you're still out here in rebellion. And they didn't want to hear this. And so they laid in wait to try to trap him, to kill him. And, you know, this is not the last time. I mean, throughout his life, he is going to be dogged by these individuals, many of whom want nothing in the world so much as to cut his throat, to shut him up. And you've probably heard me say this before on here, but here it comes again. a friend of mine, very close Jewish friend of mine, lived down in Fort Worth at the time. Haven't seen him in a long time. I'd love to see him again. But anyway, I was in Fort Worth on business. I called him up, and he said, come on over to the house. And we want to have you eat dinner with us tonight. And, of course, I was delighted to go over there. His wife was a friend and just a delightful lady. And he had two sons, and it was a pleasure to see them again. At some point, he and I got into a discussion about the New Testament. And I said something about the Apostle Paul, and he said, you mean the apostate Paul. And that was when I learned, I may have suspected it before, but I learned it there. Paul is still on the outs with the Jews, even to this day. Other than Jewish believers, of course. They're saved Jews, and they love Paul just like I love him. But to the Jews, as a whole and in general, they still don't like Paul. They can tolerate Peter and John and James. They can tolerate them to some degree, but they despise Paul. This man is anathema to them. And that's a simple fact. That's not something I have made up. And they were trying to kill him then, and he wouldn't last long today, I don't think. But he knew, and the disciples knew, and they took him at night and led him down by the wall in a basket. This is the wall in Damascus there. And Paul talks about this himself. And you can read about this in 2 Corinthians 11. And he talks about it in the letter to the Galatians too. And he escaped, and he got away, and he came back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he ran into a little problem. At the first of this broadcast, I said, as believers, we ought to receive one another. It's just that simple, friend. Why should we receive one another? Because we are saved and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, in the little meeting that we are in, where we gather together Lord's Day morning to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, I am telling you that any believer out there has a place in our meeting. There's not a reason in the world why you shouldn't be received unless you are living in known sin or you are in error as to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would not receive you then, but otherwise you are receivable. I am very troubled. I had a man who came over to the house one day. This man was of the Roman persuasion. And he and I were discussing these very things. And I said, let's face facts. I'm a believer. I couldn't come down to your church and be received. Now, I wouldn't go down there anyway. Let me tell you about that. There are reasons why I wouldn't seek reception with the Roman party. And one of the main reasons is their teaching of transubstantiation and their teaching that the sacrifice is being slain over and over again. This is not scriptural, and I can have no part of it. But even if I wanted to, they wouldn't receive me. Why? Because I'm not one of them. Now, there are churches out here, there are a lot of Protestant churches that would not receive me because I'm not one of them. I don't have their denominational tag on me. And once again, you know how I feel about denominationalism, so there's no need in my going into that again. Paul goes down to Jerusalem in verse 26 here, and you will kindly take note that they wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't receive him. Not because he wasn't in their denomination. There were no denominations back then. They wouldn't receive him because they were afraid of him. And they were afraid of him for a very good reason. They knew who he was exactly. And because they knew who he was, they wouldn't have any part of taking this guy in. So, what happened? Well, we've got another guy who comes onto the scene here. And this guy is a very important man. And his name is Barnabas. And let's take a look here. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. And after that, we get the good news in verse 28 that he was indeed received and was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Now let me say something about this. Let's suppose that Lord's Day, this coming Lord's Day, tomorrow, you show up at our meeting and you want to come in and break bread with us. There are only two questions, really, that I would have for you. Are you saved? And I might ask you to explain to me how you got saved. I might ask for a testimony from you. Are you saved? And are you living in known sin? If you are, for example, living in an adulterous relationship, or if you are one of these kind of businessmen that you're making your money by lying, cheating, and stealing, or what have you, if you are in open sin, or if you are in error as to the person and work of Jesus Christ, if you believe, for example, that his work on that cross didn't save us, that it takes something added to it, that it is grace plus works, or you believe in that somehow the Lord is present in the sacrifice of the Mass, and that he is being slain anew every time the Mass is said. I know I'm on some toes here. I don't care. You need to hear this. That is error, and that is not scriptural. And I personally would not receive you for that reason. You would not be receivable here. But, once again, if you are born again, and if you're not into doctrinal error, why would I not receive you? And I would. And look at what Barnabas does here. He brings Paul personally to the apostles. Now, certainly, let's suppose that someone shows up tomorrow at the meeting. And let's say I don't know them, but let's say another believer who's in fellowship in the meeting does know them and brings them in and says, look, I know this individual, and brings you in and says, I know this individual. I know that he, she is a believer and is saved, and I've known them for, you would be immediately received. There'd be no reason not to receive you. So here is one of the ways in which someone is saved. One way, of course, would be that, you hear, suppose you heard me preaching the gospel, you got saved, you got baptized. That would be one way. Here's another way. Another believer brings you in. Another way is, and we see this in Paul's writing, is with a letter. Someone might show up at the meeting with a letter in hand, saying, this brother, this sister is in good fellowship here in such and such a place. He, she is well regarded by the brethren, and so on and so forth. That would be another way to receive you. But here is one way, and we see it right here once again with Barnabas. He is a believer. He brings Saul of Tarsus in, and he not only tells them how Saul got saved. And I mean, it's well known up in Damascus. It's the talk of the town up there, and this guy can preach and he can teach, and you need him. You do not need to be rejecting him. You need to take him in. And they did, and you will notice in verse 29 that he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, and they went about to slay him. Now, these Grecians here are Jews who were, they were Hellenized Jews. We saw them back in chapter 6, as opposed to the Hebrew Jews who, you had all kinds in this assembly in Jerusalem. Some of them were out of the diaspora, and they spoke Greek, and that's what we have here. But these are clearly Jews. There were, so far as I know, so far as this account gives us to, up to date, there were no Gentiles who had been saved. There were some Samaritans who were half Gentile, but these Grecians are once again Hellenized Jews. And back, you know, we had the Jews up in Damascus who wanted to kill Paul. Now we've got the Greek-speaking Jews down in Jerusalem, and they want to kill him. And so the brethren, of course, in verse 30, they found out about this and brought him to Caesarea and sent him back to Tarsus, which was his hometown, and they got him out of there. Now, I mean, here is a guy, this is God's outlaw. I'm telling you, he is marked for destruction, and everywhere he goes, he upsets people, and pretty soon you got a certain group who want to kill him. And we'll see this throughout the book of Acts, and we will see that Saul, everywhere he goes, he seems to get into trouble. But you will notice, however, that we've got the churches, rather, in verse 31, having rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. So the church itself, it goes through periods of torment and persecution. We saw that back at the beginning of chapter 8. We see it implied also in chapter 9. But now the Lord gives a period of peace or rest, as it says in the King James. The word in the Greek is eirene. All of you out there who are named Irene, this is where your name comes from, the word for rest here, and it's peace. They were at peace. The Lord, you see, knows exactly how much you can put up with and how much his people can put up with. He will never try or test you beyond your capacity to bear up. And so the church has rest now. Paul is off to Tarsus, and there is growth, and the church is being multiplied and edified and built up. Now, we're closing out. Got less than a minute. I've got to break this off. Let me say something to all who are listening to me. I want you to look at yourself and ask yourself honestly, am I saved? Have I really believed the gospel that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day? Do you have confidence? The blessed assurance that Fanny Crosby wrote about, is that yours? Or do you have to wonder? Are you sitting there saying, well, I hope I'll be in heaven? Well, I don't know. Well, you can know. You can have that assurance. You turn to the Lord Jesus right now and you receive him as your Savior, and you be saved by believing the gospel. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.